Northwest Ohio. Are you tired of just surviving? Are you ready for some fresh ideas? You've come to the right place. The Thrive Tribe 419 podcast features local experts in wellness and experiencing the best life has to offer in the Midwest. Let's thrive together. Hey guys, it's Rose, and I have a fantastic interview lined up for you to listen to today. But first, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Davies. Hi, Dr. Davies. Okay, back to the good stuff. So anyway, today I sat down with Angela Hill, who is a certified aromatherapist. We ended up having a lot of things in common. She was born in 1979, just like I am. So go 20 years, high school reunion, woo! she is beautiful. She is smart. She just knows so much. She shared so much information. So I think you're really going to like this interview. If you don't know what essential oils or aromatherapy is, this is for you. If you know a little bit about aromatherapy, like I thought I did, this is for you. So we talk about how I've been screwing up. We talk about safety issues with kids. We talk about how they can be used in the summertime, how they can be used going back to school. We talk about what it's like to be a female entrepreneur. She just has the most amazing personality. She's great to listen to, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So as far as a formal introduction, Angela graduated from Michigan State University with a degree in marketing and spent the first 10 years of her career working for both Fortune 500 and startup organizations before pursuing her entrepreneurial dreams. Angela is currently an NAHA, or National Association of Holistic Aromatherapy, certified aromatherapist and founder of Well Aroma, which is located in Perrysburg, Ohio. Well Aroma is an essential oil company offering pure therapeutic grade essential oils in the raw form, custom healing creams, and synergy blends to help with achieving optimal health. Angela has been working with essential oils for over 7 years and was certified in the spring of 2015. She's currently back in school working through her clinical level aromatherapist certification. Prior to Well Aroma, Angela owned and operated something called Organically Cute, where she manufactured organic baby clothing products in the United States. She also offered consulting services as a marketing director for baby and eco-friendly companies during that time. Angela is married to her high school sweetheart and a mother to two little girls who keep her life very busy. She's an active volunteer at Perrysburg Public Schools, both in the classroom and for school events. She, along with her husband and kids, loves to travel, take hikes, play on the water, watch movies, and spend quiet time reflecting. And might I add, she has fabulous hair, which all of you are probably wondering about if you saw her picture. So we are going to talk about that at the end of the podcast. Additionally, Angela has so graciously offered to do a giveaway for our listeners. So get over to our Instagram page, which is Thrive Tribe 419. Or the Facebook page, Thrive Tribe 419, and there will be information on there about how to win our little giveaway. She is giving away one of her rollers. It's an essential oil blend called Restful Sleep, and she's also giving away one bottle of lavender. And we will be talking about how essential oils can help sleep and the many, many benefits and uses of lavender and why it's such a rad oil to have on hand at all times. So stay tuned for that. But while you're listening, feel free to pop over to our social media and check out how you might be able to win some goodies for yourself. And here's Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Welcome to my home/podcasting studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for driving across the distance and through all the cornfields to get here.
Hey, no problem. Yeah, it's a good drive.
Yeah. So we're just going to dive right in because I feel like you probably have so much information to share, and I just want to soak it all up like a sponge. So first of all, what is aromatherapy?
Okay. So this is the best description I give about aromatherapy. And aromatherapy is the use of essential oils to help aid the body in natural healing in a holistic way. So what does that mean, right? It's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah.
So basically it means that essential oils and aromatherapy is one piece of the holistic pie, right? There's a lot of things that we do to live naturally. And is aromatherapy necessarily the end-all be-all for everything? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Obviously I'm an aromatherapist. I love aromatherapy, and it's great for many, many things. But mm-hmm. we also have to look at ourselves as a whole being, mm-hmm. and that's what we're eating, if we're sleeping, if we're exercising, mm-hmm. what that looks like. So aromatherapy is a tool to help our bodies heal naturally when living holistically.
Okay, great. And how did you first become interested in aromatherapy? Is this a lifelong thing, or is this more recent?
I have been NAHA certified for a couple years, but I really got into this when my oldest daughter, who's now 7, she got sick when I went back to work between the ages of 6 months and 12 months. She had an ear infection, like 3 months in a row.
Ooh.
And so this was a time when I wasn't really, we did all organic foods and things like that. And, you know, we live in Southern California, so we lived a very, natural life.
Sure.
However, the doctor, I love my pediatrician, and was like, okay, she needs antibiotic. Okay, then not antibiotic. I'm like, okay.
Uh-oh.
We're done.
Yeah.
So at that point, I started to look into more homeopathy, and then the essential oils. And so that really jump-started this because I felt like such a responsibility about being a mom that I'm bringing in this child into this world, and I'm creating their world. I'm creating the foundation of their house for their life, for their body, of what they intake and how they take care of themselves. So really, I really attest this push in my life to my kids. So
Yeah. It's funny because I think that a lot of this for me came about when I had my first baby too. She really pushed me past the edge of what I guess is typical, especially for this area, as far as crunchiness.
Yes. Right.
I got really interested in natural stuff, both for myself but for her too. It bumped it up a level for sure.
Absolutely.
And that age between 6 months and 12 months, they're so malleable, aren't they?
I mean, yes.
You just have to be so careful.
So careful about what you're using. And, almost at that point, I feel like I wasn't sure if I could use these alternative things at that time, which sounds kind of crazy, but my brain always went to, Western medicine, Western way of doing it, and that wasn't working for us.
Yeah. And I think that's how a lot of people arrive at this stage that I've talked to, is that something's not working and they have to find something else. You get a little bit desperate.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to change subjects a little bit here. I want to hear about the most amazing, extraordinary thing that you've ever seen or experienced with essential oil. And I can tell by your face that this is going to be good.
No, I don't know. That's what I was saying. I'm like, my face is doing this because I'm like,
no miracle cures.
I have seen some cool things. I don't know if it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, I've had one customer that I thought was really cool. It's like she was suffering for like 8 months with like tendonitis, which you're like, okay, tendonitis. But tendonitis,
For
8 months. And waking up in the middle of the night, taking ibuprofen because it was throbbing.
A good habit to get into.
No, and it was at the thumb. But if you're working behind a computer all the time, right? And that's, again, repetitive abuse because you're doing the same thing over and over again. We're in a splint. And after 8 months of nothing working and taking higher dosage of, ibuprofens and what have it from the doctor, I gave her a cream, and within a week, it was completely gone. Like, which is, like, I thought was pretty cool. So, that, I mean, that's not, like, amazing, but, like, yeah. And then it was gone, you know?
So it was just gone. Like, it didn't come back?
It didn't come back. I will tell you, after a year and a half, it came back again. And then I gave her a cream again, and she's been fine since.
And she knocked it out again.
Yes, but so, again, it's repetitive. I'm going to call it repetitive abuse, because it's really, like, we didn't...
Yeah.
You know, she didn't change what she was doing for the body. Like, she could continue to be at the desk. Well, most people are behind a desk, and they're working at a computer.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the new smoking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is that. And then I have other things. This is kind of, this is my own daughter. My own daughter, this past couple weeks, she literally ripped the whole top of her toe off. Like, hit the corner of, like, the sidewalk. It was just gushing blood. It was, like, the hole from the nail back, and it was just, like, kind of flapping, hanging.
Yeah.
And so I used, like, a little helichrysum on it. And within 3 days, you would have never known she had anything. Like, I mean, completely healed.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. So that's not...
You were the ER doctor that day.
Yes. I mean, it was, like, crazy. And I was like, all right then. You know, I mean, we have those all the time, but...
That's got to be a confidence booster for you to see things like that happening.
Yes. Oh, totally. And I had one more this past fall. I had a mom, and she had a son who had 7 bouts of strep throat the year prior.
Ooh.
And we put her on put him on, like, a preventative cold and flu roller that he would use.
Mm-hmm.
And that year he only had 1. So I consider that to be a huge success, because he is just prone to these.
It sounds like my daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we need to talk.
Yes, okay, we can. Yeah. We can. So I was like, okay, from 7 instances of strep to 1, I think that's fantastic. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's extraordinary, but they're just, I mean, really cool things to see happening.
Yeah, so. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just mentioned helichrysum. Is that what you said? Did I say that right?
Close. Helichrysum.
Helichrysum. Yes. Okay. I know I've seen it on the label of one of my bottles. It's in a blend, but I never knew how to pronounce it.
It looks weird, and you're like, I don't know how that says helichrysum, but...
Helichrysum, yeah. Yes. Okay, so you mentioned that. Is that your favorite essential oil, or do you have one?
You know, I do. I love helichrysum, but I'm going to tell you, it's hella awesome, but it's hella expensive. So
okay.
It really is. So mm-hmm. It's not one that I would... recommend to an average or a beginner user or somebody who's just starting to get into this. My go-to, though, besides helichrysum, because I do love that one, is lavender. I don't feel like lavender gets enough credit for the fantastic essential oil that it is, because it's more common.
Yeah.
And but it does so much.
It really does.
Yeah. And for kids, you know, you can use it even into the infancy stage, if you're using it correctly and diluting it correctly.
So okay.
Put that caveat out there.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that, right?
Right. Totally.
So we'll put that on the shelf. But
yes.
Yeah, lavender. When I run out of lavender, I immediately order that one again. And I think that is the one that has been consistent through all the years since I've started using essential oils. I've always had to have lavender.
Oh,
It reduces inflammation. I've used it for that. It's so calming. I put it in the bathtub with my kids and they calm down. It's like, we diffuse it.
Yes.
It's just so nice.
Sleeping, sunburns, insect bites. I mean,
lavender
pretty much, I feel like, could about do it all.
I'm probably not using it as much as it could be used.
Yeah, you things. Probably not. I mean, it has like 300 different components to it of what it could help with. So.
Yeah. And my mom just started drinking water with, like, each day she puts a drop of lavender in it. And I can't remember what she said she was doing that for. Do you know what that might be for?
No, I'm not sure.
I told her that she needed to make sure it was a really high quality essential oil, like a therapeutic grade.
Yes, and I am really conservative about about ingestion.
Ingestion, right.
Yeah, so I'm not a big advocate of it, only in small acute cases of doing that.
Okay.
Just because of when it breaks down in the GI system, we're not really getting the full molecular benefit of the essential oil.
Oh, so it would be better used on the skin, or?
Yes.
Well, I guess it depends on what you're using it for.
Yes, true. Like, if you have a sore throat, it's an acute case, and you know what you're doing, I would say, okay, yeah, you could put it, like, for example, I did that recently, put a drop in of Cypress, and I took a drink because I had just a wicked sore throat, and it was, and I was like, I really needed help.
Yeah.
And it knocked it out, so, which was good.
Interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but do I recommend it for daily use? I personally do not.
Uh-huh.
And I have other counterparts, other clinical aromatherapists. You know, we kind of, it just depends on who you work with.
Okay.
And
different philosophies.
Different philosophies, yeah. So, but I definitely like inhalation and dermal and just diffusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could really hurt yourself with some of these essential oils. I mean, they are chemicals.
They are, it's medicine. I just can't tell people enough that it's so highly concentrated. It's medicinal. It is 100% used for medicinal purposes. Has been for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So
we have to be extremely careful with how we use these essential oils. So speaking of safety and medicinal uses and all those kinds of things, now that it's summertime, I mean, we are into, like, the dog days of summer. How are you recommending people use essential oils during the summer for different things? Do you have any... my cat's giving her kisses.
I love it. I really do.
Do you have any suggestions on how to use essential oils in the summer? Any remedies to share with us or secrets?
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you, I mean, of course, I have, you know, Well Aroma and I have, you know, my own line, but I, we have our own, like, tick spray. Ticks have been horrific.
You make your own tick spray blend?
Correct.
That's available for purchase?
Yes.
Okay.
In a spray.
Okay.
Which can be used on both people and dogs.
Okay.
So that I recommend. Obviously, you can use it for ticks, you know, bugs. I have a fantastic mosquito. I am, like, one of those people, too, that, like, if a mosquito is within, like, a 10-mile radius, it will find me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This stuff is fantastic. It's kind of complex.
It
so, it's, you know, it's a mix, you know, a lot of people say, you know, citronella. Then this is, like, citronella with patchouli and some geranium, and I think it has cedar wood in it as well.
Well, that smells really good.
It smells really good, but it's complex enough, too, that it's giving you, it's not just... You know, if mosquitoes are like, oh, okay, I can kind of pound through this citronella smell, then all of a sudden it's going to get hit with, oh, I hate geranium too. Oh, wait, no, I hate, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's like, it's a little bit more of a complex blend to kind of deter, like, mosquitoes or
bugs. You know, I never really thought about it that way, but I guess there are mosquitoes that maybe can tolerate one oil but wouldn't like another one.
Right,
and
because
then...
I've used, like, citronella before and they still come after me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't as effective. Now, this has been effective for me.
So, is it as effective as DEET?
Okay, that's a whole...
There are studies on this, aren't there?
There is.
There's actual research on...
There's actual research.
Yeah.
Yes, and there is a chemical in geranium, specifically, that more for, like, the tick spray that... they've done studies to show that it was just as effective or more effective than DEET.
Really?
Using it against ticks.
Wow.
Yes.
Against ticks.
Against ticks.
And ticks are a serious... I mean, you don't want to be bit by a tick.
No. It's my gosh.
It's
absolutely not. What the potential of what could happen. It's,
it's
horrible. So there's that. And then you have peppermint. You want to get rid of ants around your house. You've got lavender, which you can use for sunburns. You can use it for... If you do get mosquito bites, and you know some people get swollen, you can do lavender by itself or lavender with chamomile. So you can continue to use that. I feel like that's pretty much, like, right now for, I think, of summer and outdoor living is kind of what we use our essential oils for.
Okay. So this weekend I was outside at my mom's place, and she lives on the river, and the mosquitoes are terrible. So right now I have, like, 5 mosquito bites that are driving me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So what would I do? Like, would I put some lavender on my fingers and put it on the bite? Would I put it on a cotton ball?
Sure, you could do that. Okay, so this is like an acute case, right? You're only going to probably put one or two applications on because it's probably going to knock it out.
Okay.
So lavender is an essential oil that you can put on neat, which means directly to the skin.
Neat, N-E-A-T.
Yes.
Okay.
Without diluting it.
Okay.
So you could, yeah, take a drop of it on your finger or on a cotton ball and just dab those mosquito bites.
Directly on there.
Directly
and
on
would
there.
That be safe for children and babies too?
It would be safe for children, but mm-hmm. I just did a video on this on my Facebook because my daughter got one and her, it just blew up.
Oh, I saw that.
It
yes.
was just huge. She kept saying, I had this huge bump. It was huge.
Yeah.
And it was gone the next day, so I only had to apply it once, but I did a 50-50 on her. Yes, could I put it neat on her for an acute case like this?
Uh-huh.
One drop would be okay,
uh-huh.
but I decided to do 50-50. So one drop of a carrier oil, one drop of a lavender.
So what kind of carrier oil would you suggest having on hand as like, you know, this is my first time going out and buying stuff.
Yeah.
What kind of carrier oil should I keep in my house?
I love fractionated coconut oil. Like if you want to keep one specifically for essential oils, that's
uh-huh.
one of my that's my favorite. So you do all of our rollers in that. But
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to buy anything and you're like, okay, use your extra virgin oil in your kitchen. Use your avocado
mm-hmm.
oil. Like you can totally use that as well.
Okay.
If you don't feel like you want to go out and buy something. And you can use your coconut oil.
Yeah.
It's just going to harden, right?
Right, right.
So keep that in a glass jar with essential oil. So.
Okay. So, and then moving over to sunburns, I'm assuming it would be lavender, because I've used lavender for sunburns, and it really does work.
It does.
So you just put it, can you put it on neat, or would you dilute it again?
I would dilute that one, because
okay.
your skin's already burned, it's agitated, but you could probably
yeah.
do like a 50-50, 20, or 25% essential oil, 75% carrier. Because
okay.
you're going to put it on a bigger area, where like
yeah.
your mosquito bite, it's a small area, right? It's very, you're just putting a little bit on. A sunburn could be like your whole shoulder.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to dilute that so you're not overly doing it to your body. But yeah, it will knock it out. I mean, lavender,
okay.
again, it's one of those essential oils I feel like you should just have at all times.
Yeah.
And you know what? Oh, I forgot. What else lavender is fantastic for? Poison ivy.
Oh.
Any kind of those.
I've never tried it for that.
Well, you should call my husband.
Oh, no.
He's had it, I think, two or three times this summer. I've made a custom blend since then to have a little bit more cooling effect. But lavender, if you get your poison ivy in the very beginning stages, it will completely knock it out. Yeah.
Wow.
It's another thing for lavender.
That's good to know.
Lavender
for I am extremely allergic. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah,
if you look at it, you'll get it.
I get it usually once a year, once a summer.
And as soon as you see that first little red dot, you know exactly what I'm talking
about. Yeah, yeah. It's different than a mosquito bite. It's like crusty and seepy and gross.
Yes.
So I can just hit that with some
lavender.
And
yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's good to know. Okay, now I want to shift to going back to school, and I am like a deer in the headlights right now with my daughter starting kindergarten because preschool was such a nightmare with like the ear infections and the strep throat and the pink eye and what else do we have? I don't even know. Flu. She was just coming home with something. It was
like cold a month.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly,
it was more than there was. We hit this apex, and I think it was like March. Where she had, like, four different things all at once.
Mm.
And it was awful.
And you would think, like, March, you're like, we're at the tail end of this. Like,
that
know?
Was when it got the worst. I don't understand it. I guess it was just her immune system was so down from the winter or something.
Yeah.
And all the kids were sick. They almost shut the school down.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they had so many kids that were sick. And they were telling people, like, don't come in if they have a cough. Like, don't come in if they have a runny nose. Like, nothing. Like, no signs of illness. You cannot come to school. So, like, there were three kids in the class, you know, for a couple weeks, and we kept her home, and,
Well,
so
you
I'm
know,
scared.
And this past year was bad, and the year prior was bad, too.
Yeah, it was the year prior. This past year, we didn't have her in preschool, because I didn't want to do that again with the newborn baby and all of that.
Right.
But, Tell us what is your advice?
I know. All schools should have diffusers now. I know. I would love that. But there
I was thinking about donating one to her classroom.
Yes. Oh, my. The kindergarten teacher for my daughter was fantastic. Her and I definitely bonded over like holistic stuff, and she'd had a baby, and so we talked about that. The only problem is, like, you know, you get into like allergies with kids, and so
you'd have to be really, really careful
right? about what you were to diffuse, and but so there's that whole issue about it. So, but you know, what can you do for your child? So we want to obviously prevent it. So the things that we can do at home, which is one of the things that I love, is like basically like a purification spray in the house.
Okay.
So my favorite blend is tea tree and peppermint.
Oh.
However, I say that if you have young children, peppermint's not something that you're really supposed to introduce to them until they're like six.
Okay. So my kids are still too young for that.
Yeah. So what you could do then is like tea tree and lemon or lemongrass. Oh, okay. That would be okay. And what I do is I literally spray it all over the house. So I leave our domain like antibacterial, antiviral. Like that's I focus on that. I use that spray for the doorknobs.
So you're using it like Lysol.
Pretty much.
Essentially.
Pretty much. I'm like, and I'll do like, we have kids come over during the winter to play with toys. I get out my purification and I spray all the toys. Just because, you know, I want to make sure that they're not germs.
I have a question for you about that spray too. So when you're mixing up a spray, like if I were going to do it myself, I can't use a plastic spray bottle, can I?
As long as it, I'm going to say this wrong, but it's PET or PET, you can use that because kind of plastic.
So it has to be PET.
PET, yes.
Okay, and it'll probably say on the bottom.
It will say on the bottom if it is. And it has to be, you know, like an amber or like a cobalt color. It can't be clear.
Okay.
It has to be, you know, a colored plastic.
Because any kind of sunlight would damage the oils.
Exactly.
But the oils can melt plastic if it's not PET.
Correct. Okay. Yes. So
and
I mean,
you're spraying plastic all over your house, and that's not good.
Exactly. So, I mean, I love glass, and that was what, you know, all of our sprays, we started with glass. However, glass and shipping is not always fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we've switched to the PET plastic. I'll probably still have a variety of glass as well, but just because of shipping purposes, we had a break, and even though it's wrapped like in tons of bubble wrap and, you know, all that stuff.
Sure.
So, but yeah, you can do that. You know, making your own hand sanitizer for the kids with aloe vera, and I will tell you the couple essential oils that you can use is you could do lavender and lemon if you wanted to. You could probably even do the tea tree and lemon as well as a hand sanitizer, that they can even clip that to their book bag and use it, like, or maybe put it in their lunch sack before they have lunch.
Ooh, good idea.
Right? And also we have, I mean, we particularly at Well Roma, we have like rollers that are immune boosting rollers. And this is really going to focus on building up your antiviral properties and antibacterial properties in the body. So that you can use as a preventative. You would probably want to use it just like 2-3 days a week, give your body a break from it. But just to kind of help.
Not every day then.
Not every day. No. Okay. You know, it's like everything in life. It's moderation, right? And you don't need to overdo your system. And for my customers who use this on their kids all throughout the fall, I will tell them, okay, you could do this for about 3 months, and then you're going to have to take, like, a break. Like, you need to, like, give your body space from using this. Mm. Not that it has any kind of damage. It's just that you don't want to be sensitized, you know, to anything as you use it too much.
Okay, so my cat is trying to steal secret recipes here, but we saved them from her. But we were kind of talking about safety again, and I think that's just not something that you hear a lot about when you hear about essential oils. And like there are companies like Young Living and what's the other one? doTERRA, and there's a lot of people that are selling these essential oils. And I know that there's been a push, especially lately, to kind of limit what people can say that they do and what you can use them for, because one, you can't say you're treating an illness, correct?
Right.
And then people were poisoning themselves or burning themselves.
Right.
And hurting their, like, there have been respiratory emergencies with children and things like that. So,
and a lot of that has to do with just not knowing how to use essential oils correctly. They're not diluting them correctly, or they're using, you know, on children, I mean, and people are ingesting them. A lot of the contraindications that happen with the body have come from ingestion, or not knowing which oils are appropriate to use on children and at which age you can use them. So, I mean, it all comes down to, I feel like a lot of these unfortunate, you know, mistakes are happening just from lack of knowledge with using it. I can't stress enough that it's medicinal. You wouldn't just take a bottle of pills from your doctor's office and just use them however you want to.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? It's. I mean, you really just need to understand what you're using.
Right. I know that I have burned my own skin with essential oil before. And when I hear you speaking about how you use essential oils and how you suggest using them, you're diluting them a lot more than I am at home. So I'm starting to realize that maybe I'm overdoing it a little bit. And I thought I knew more than the typical person out
Which you totally do. It's just one thing that I love, one of the facts I love to share with people when I teach aromatherapy is that it takes 200 pounds of fresh lavender to make 1 pound of essential oil.
Wow.
I mean, that is crazy. That is, talk about the concentration level on that. I mean, it's so highly concentrated.
Yeah.
So always with the rule with essential oil is less is more. So always start with less. And if you need to apply more, like I have a calming roller and I apply it to my pulse points. I first take a deep inhalation. It's always about taking a deep inhalation before you use it. And then I put it on my pulse points because then it's going to go through the blood system faster. And I'm like, okay, wait. I'm like, I'm going to give a presentation or something. I'm like, well, I might need to hit that one up again before I go.
Yeah.
You know, but less is more. I know, like, they're diluted appropriately so that you can apply them a second time if need be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're diluted in a way that you're not going to harm yourself either.
Right. And that's why they're so expensive. Well, the good ones.
Correct. Well, yes. Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to, like, some of these companies are really expensive. That's because there's a lot of margin that needs to be taken out.
my cat is just causing all kinds of trouble today.
I just love it. I love it. She's going in the mail right now.
Keep talking. Just ignore her. This is all about her today.
I love her. I even forgot what we were talking about.
You were talking about why essential oils are expensive, or why are more affordable than others, what the difference is.
So here's what you need to know. Is one, is that if you go to a company and all their essential oils are the same price, something's not right. Because every oil, it should not be the same price. Because they're all grown in different areas of the world. So there's different kinds. Yeah, so we're talking, it's coming from France, Hungary, Madagascar, you know. They're coming from everywhere. So, you know, based on the size of the farm, what crops were that year, prices should never be the same. I'll just say that much. In a blanket statement. Like, oh, I went to this website. All the essential oils are
$4.95. Well, that's a red flag.
That's a red flag. Totally.
Okay, so I've been noticing that when I go to, well, I was even in Big Lots yesterday, they had essential oils.
Right.
The grocery stores have essential oils. Marshall's has essential oils. What's up with that? Is that good? Is that not good? I mean, I tend to stick with the ones that I know are like the real high quality ones. And I haven't really looked at these other ones, but they are all the same price, a lot of them, so I guess that is a red flag.
Yeah.
But what's up with this whole movement of essential oils, and do we need to be paying attention to what we're buying? Are they, you know, is what we get at Big Lots going to be like what we get from you?
You know, I have no idea where they're sourcing. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I have no clue. Are they putting additives in it? Are they, I mean, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Essential oils have become huge. Rollout of this, it's kind of like the movement of organic foods, right? It was slow and then all of a sudden became a huge industry.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like we're going forwards, but thinking in our holistic living, but going backwards in how we're dealing with it. But like we're going back to like what our grandmothers used to do and our great grandmothers used to do. Uh-huh. So it's big. So all these big box companies, they want a piece of this pie too. But where is it coming from? I don't know. Gas chromatography.
Hey, you said it.
Oh my god.
Gas chromatography. So that is what determines the.
So that's like really the only test in the industry that will break down the chemical composition of the essential oil. And it will tell you if there's additives in the oil or not, how pure it is. I mean, that's really the only test that we have when we get it from, you know, farm to supplier to really test the.
So there are people tampering with oils along the way sometimes?
There could be tampering. There could be, you know, or
diluting it,
cutting costs somehow from, you know, like helichrysum, for example. It's expensive oil. It's like usually, you know, $70 to $100, but, you know, I found one off Amazon for $14.99. Yeah.
Wow.
So that doesn't make sense. There's clearly additives in it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's
that's
just a way
good
of
to know.
Get, yes. Yes. It's just a way of getting more. I mean, it's with like anything in this world. Not everything comes pure. So.
Okay.
So any company, a good company, will either have those tests or will be able to supply you those tests.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a good way of showing if like they're hiding anything.
Okay. So we need to look on the label to see if that's been done. Will it say on the label?
It won't say it on a label. I really haven't come across any essential oil companies that put that on the label.
Oh, so you really have to do your research.
It would be like online. It would be like when you go to order it, it would say, you know, GCMS report available, or ask me for this, or they would just have it as like an image where you can see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I do not have that at this point. Okay. I can get it for you.
But you're not in the lab, like with a little.
No. And I'm so small that I'm like, okay, I spend my time making my blends for my customers, and I do getting that stuff online. It will come.
Yeah. But the essential oils that you use are all these higher quality. GCMS. GCMS.
Yes.
Certified.
Fine. Yes. Tested.
Tested.
It's like
okay.
A, like a third party test, basically, to make sure that the essential oils are pure. So where I source from, and of course, I'm a small operation, so I don't have the means to source directly to Hungary or, you know, even to France. So I source a lot of the big essential oil companies. We source from a lot of the same places. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, gotcha. Don't give away too many of your secrets.
I'm glad to say we all run in a pretty good playing field.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you're essentially taking it to the next level, essentially.
Huh? Yeah, that's good.
through a cross between your knowledge and your resources that you have to draw from and these high quality oils, and you're actually making blends to enhance different parts of your life. I guess we can't really say treating things, but
right.
Help what are
the body
some
naturally heal.
Yes.
Aid the body.
So
naturally.
What kinds of things do you offer essential oil blends for?
I mean, all of the big things you can think of for like normal living, sleep, anxiety, depression, things that we like really focus on every day, colds and flus, coughs, you know, we talked about, you know, the lines right now for summer, the bug spray and the tick spray. I mean, you know, I will be coming out with hand sanitizer, just things like of that nature to kind of really help keep us preventatively in good health.
Yeah.
So restful sleep blend is one of my favorites because in holistic living, the number one thing you need to look at is your sleep, right?
Yeah.
If we're not sleeping, we don't have time to heal.
That's a big topic lately.
Yes.
Every podcast I listen to has had a sleep expert on it lately. You know, everybody's talking about like avoiding blue light and how to get your melatonin synced correctly with the time of day it is and all these things. I don't know, but even what you eat during the day affects how you sleep. So essential oils can help with that too.
Absolutely. I even have an essential oil called Eating Less. It helps with appetite suppressants. So if you're trying to cut some calories, or you're trying to like curb your cravings, or maybe you have a sugar addiction, or you by smelling that, or you know, using it on again, I use it on the wrist a few times a day to help curb that, which it really can help with women with you know, like PMS cravings.
Oh,
keep that balance in check. And that's another thing. When you look at hormonal. I can run the gamut of, you know, from IBS to athlete's foot to, it's just like, you name it, I probably have tried. I have one varicose veins, and we're working with someone right now for hot flashes, you know. It runs the gamut.
So you mix a lot of these ahead of time and have them on hand? Are there, like, your most popular ones?
The most popular ones that, like, seasonal, like I'm gonna call it seasonal. So like right now I'm not selling a lot of, you know, like cold and flu or immune boosting ones because we generally tend to be pretty you know, healthy during the summertime.
Yeah.
So right now, like the tick and the bug spray are really popular. So it's just kind of, so I do. So I don't have a lot of that on hand right now for like the fall of like the colds, but I will have that so that I do small batches.
And then you had mentioned that you are doing custom blends for people, which is really intriguing. So what have people come to you
for custom?
Yeah, what are people asking for, if you're allowed to share that information? I know some of it might be a little...
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty general. I mean, like, for example, the varicose veins, that was very custom. We've done a couple different blends for that. Not something I've typically worked with. It's not like a sleep issue. It's not an anxiety. It's not a, you know, a traditional, like, acute case. It's a kind of more of a chronic. Irritable bowel. I've had some great successes with it and had some not so great successes with it.
Okay.
Depends on how chronic of an abuse it's been for that person. Glaucoma, I had somebody using something for that to see if they could lower their numbers for that. I mean, it just kind of runs, it runs the gamut. Name it, and things that come up. A lot of, like, a pain management is another big one that I work with, like arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, TMJ, muscle cramps, athletes, you know.
And your clients are anywhere from, like, little children to elderly?
Yep, absolutely. So I will say that it seems like the space I'm in right now, you know, tends to be, like, a lot of times moms, because they're into themselves a little bit. They want to know what they can use for their kids.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, but honestly, like, the 50s, 60 range, they're very inquisitive about this, and which is really cool. But they remember some of this from their grandmothers and such. But what's really cool to me is the 15-year-olds who are running diffusers in their bedrooms because they know the benefits of this.
Yeah.
Which is, so watching the generations come up is really interesting to see how they're shifting their thoughts about healthcare.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if my kids will be like that.
Yeah, you are. So I would imagine they would probably follow suit.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be so cool. They'll be like, you know, 7 and be like, well, Mom, you need to take this probiotic to help with it.
You know? My 5-year-old already kind of does that sometimes.
Yeah.
She's like, did you take your vitamins today? Why is Mommy grumpy?
Yes, exactly. Take your magnesium content.
Yes, exactly. She even asks for magnesium water sometimes.
Oh.
She'll be like, oh, can I have some magnesium
water? But see, that's great. She knows her body.
Yeah.
She's just listening to her body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of little kids, I've seen a lot of conflicting information online, and I haven't, like, looked at the research or the studies or anything, but I know Tisserand, is that the one that has the big book?
Yes, that is, like, the holy grail in essential oil.
Okay.
The essential oil safety book by Robert Tisserand, yes.
Okay, so when it comes to babies, like, let's say newborn, fresh out of the womb, here I am.
Right.
My baby was born with eczema.
Mm-hmm.
Would you suggest using an essential oil for that baby?
No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. I really, my comfortable level with that is about 6 months. And that is if, like, again, you know what you're doing with essential oils. And it's all about dilution rate.
Okay.
A lot of, you know, it's conflicting. It's, I mean, it's very,
yes,
very much so. A lot of aromatherapists will err at the side of 2 and above. Yeah, 2 years old,
oh,
that's when you can start using essential oils for children.
And is that on the skin or diffused into the air? Like, what if you're spraying it around your house? Is that, like, the
purification spray?
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you're using it, you know, you're spraying it high, you're not spraying it in the baby's face, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's gonna dissipate, too.
Okay.
You know, it's going to dissipate, and so that is you're okay with. But I would, again, not use essential oils that are high in that 1/8 cineol, which has been a lot of issues out there. Robert Tisserand talked about this in his book, which is a rosemary.
And he's definitely the go-to guy, in your opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And he's fantastic.
I mean,
there was another clinical aromatherapist putting some stuff online. I didn't really agree with what she was putting out there. And again, you know, it's very subjective. And I was like, this is not what Robert put in his book. And I just emailed him. We had a conversation about it. And, like, he's always really responsive, too.
Oh, cool.
I know. I was like, that's fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
How many people are emailing you a day that you took the time out to email?
Maybe
him
people
that
don't think to email him because he's kind
not
of like,
but I do.
Limits. Good for you.
I'm like, I'm going to go to the stores. He wrote this book.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask him directly.
Yeah.
So, and I felt comfortable doing so, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. So,
neat.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you're okay with that. And again, 2 and above, you have a lot more flexibility. But you want to, again, use essential oils that don't have contraindications for children. You want to look for kids' lines. A lot of big companies have kids' lines now available. And even me, well, Aroma, I do. So all of the blends that I have in my kid aroma section are safe for kids.
Okay.
But now are they safe to use for an infant who's 3 to 6 months old? No. My blends are going to say 2 to 10, but I will tell you, if I do online have a dilution rate chart, it'll say 0 to 6 months. It will say 0 to 6 months. I don't recommend it, but you can use one drop. And then an essential oil per 1 ounce carrier. One-ounce jar will have one drop
of
essential.
That's not much.
It's not much. But
okay,
you know, they're little babies, right? Their systems are not developed. And
mm-hmm.
So, and then 6
because
to 20.
Because they still have to detox that through their liver and kidneys
exactly
and skin and all of that, right?
Absolutely.
Just like anything else.
Well, like anything else. It's exactly. So it just doesn't have as high of an impact on the liver or kidney like a prescription would.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as in that regard.
Right.
So, in a 6 to 24 months, you're talking 1 to 4 drops. So you can see, like, there's just not a lot being used.
Uh-huh.
I've had people, you know, with babies with teething, and I've made them blends for that they can put on their jaw. Those babies are, like, you know, 8, 10 months old.
Yeah.
But it's diluted correctly.
Yeah.
And that's where, and a lot of times I recommend with kids, put it on their feet because typically, some babies like to chew on their feet, for sure, but that's true,
yeah.
But typically, they're not going to ingest it.
Like, down on the bottom of your foot.
Yes,
yeah.
The very bottom of it,
yeah.
And then you put them in their little onesies or what have
you,
or, like, whatever they're wearing.
So it's far away from the face,
yes.
No risk of, like, burning the eyes.
Correct.
Or anything like that. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I always wondered why people suggested putting it on feet, and I never...
Yeah,
that was
one of the things that Robert and I actually talked about because you know he said, well, there's no, it's not a better place to put it than anywhere else on the body.
Uh-huh.
You know, because there's a big talk about how, like, your feet, you know, if you put it there, it absorbs better, you know.
Yeah, is that true?
No, that's not. Based on your science,
I mean,
no.
It's just skin.
It's just skin. Yeah, and there's actually one more layer of skin on your feet than there is anywhere else, so.
So if people really want to know what to use with their babies or how to use it, can they go to your website for more information, or can they contact you about that? Because this seems like it's kind of a sensitive,
it is,
like, unique, individual sort of scenario that,
yeah, absolutely,
is coming up here. So,
and all of my essential oil blends will have the dilution rate chart on the label, so it will say for this age use 1 drop per 1 ounce carrier. But you can also go to my website and you can find that information. And you can always reach me. I'm very responsive. I'm very responsive, believe it or not, more so on Facebook. Because that dings my phone, where sometimes my email doesn't, because I turn that off. Because I get J. Crew emails or whatever.
Spam.
Yeah, the spam stuff. So I'm really responsive, you know, to that. So, you can absolutely find information online, and more information will come as I find more time to put it online.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that as time goes by, Tisserand or whoever is doing the research is going to learn more, because this information has definitely changed over the years, I've noticed.
As in, like, some of the controversial essential oils, maybe?
Yeah, like, which oils can be used on certain ages, which can't, how to use them, like, do you diffuse it, do you put it on their skin?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's,
you put it in the bathtub,
right,
you know?
Right.
That kind of stuff.
I think as we continue to learn, things will change, and more research is done. And they've already come out with a second edition book. So he released that book. I believe the first edition was 2013. Maybe the second came around 2015.
Uh-huh.
Don't quote me on that. But I think that's... So as we learn more, we're able to see what is changing.
Yeah. And that's good. You know, we're making progress on something, on a technique that's thousands and thousands of years old.
Right.
That we've lost a lot of knowledge about.
We've lost knowledge, and it wasn't really recorded. I mean, we've got, you know, some things go back, and it was really in the 12th and the 15th century that Europe really started to document the effects of lavender. That's when we start to go into, like, some true paperwork of what was effective and how to use it.
Ah.
But it was very limited.
Uh-huh.
But now they're testing it. They're testing it just like they do prescription drugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In laboratories and breaking it down and testing against, sometimes animals. I mean, you look at the reports and then.
Right.
I hate to say that, but.
Well, and they're getting the testing because they're noticing that people are buying it. People are voting with their dollars, and where there's dollars, that's where the research goes.
Exactly, exactly.
So let's keep voting with our dollars.
Yes, that's right. I like that. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking at one of your pamphlets here, and you brought up this really cool, like, success rate of using essential oils.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that? Did you lose your page? Oh,
yes,
got it.
I have.
You got it. This is really interesting to me.
Yeah, I came across this in one of Kurt Schnauenbelt's books, and he's also highly respected in the industry and the world of aromatherapy, right up there with Robert Tisserand. Mm-hmm. So in the book, it talks about, like, the success of using aromatherapy. Like I said, it's not the end-all be-all for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they kind of broke it down as saying, like, you have a 95% success rate of using aromatherapy on infections or, like, acute things, viral infections, you know, bacterial infections and things like that. You have a 75% chance of having success of using essential oils with hormones, nervous, psyche, emotional, you know, mental things going on. You have a 50% chance success of chronic inflammation and allergies, and then a 25% metabolic conditions. But what's interesting about that, which we talked about, the 50 and the 25%, we're talking chronic inflammation, we're talking metabolic conditions. That's chronic abuse of, like, you're eating, you have an inflammatory response to something you're probably eating. It could be onions. It could be the most you know, it could be dairy, it could be gluten,
yeah.
but it's because we've chronically, and you've done it over and over for years and years and years, I just can't give you a bottle of essential oils and just say, hey, it's going to fix it. That is where you're going to have to really look at your whole holistic being and say, okay,
right.
we got to make changes.
That's where we work in conjunction with Dr. White.
Dr. White, yes.
Dr. Watts White, or
yes.
Dr. White Watts now, I
yes.
should mention.
Yes.
right.
That's correct. And yeah. I have actually had a couple of clients with irritable bowel and knew it was a chronic issue for a long period of time, and I referred them off to her.
Okay.
Said, go speak with her because she's great with looking at the internal self, and
mm-hmm.
obviously she's fantastic. So,
yeah. So a two-pronged approach could happen there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
What was the 95% chance?
For infections.
Infections.
Yeah,
okay,
so
like
viral
strep throat and...
Yes. Colds, coughs,
okay.
flus, you know, all of that stuff that comes on.
How about candida, like yeast kind of stuff?
You can use essential oils for candida. Have I yet done that? No, but
mm-hmm.
I've been done a little bit of research on that, and I haven't
mm-hmm.
Done any case studies on that thus far,
mm-hmm.
personally.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I have read that you can. Candida, though, that's where you get into the whole, that's to be chronic, that's where we got probiotics.
Yes.
You're going to have...
It's complicated.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on
yes.
candida.
Yes.
Maybe a whole series on
candida. Yes. And it's become a really big issue.
Yeah. For
us.
A lot of people.
For a lot of people. Yeah.
All right. So you have given us so much information. I have learned so much. This has been so cool.
Oh, good.
But I think that we should cover quickly... let's go over the different methods of using essential oils, because we've used some words that I'm not sure people will understand what they are, and one of them was diffusing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is diffusing? How do you diffuse an essential oil? Can you tell us?
So, a diffuser, you know, it's like a little, mine looks like a little egg.
Uh-huh.
So it's like this little guy that sits on your countertop, and, you know, it houses water, and it uses, and then you put, like, you fill up the base of it with water, and you put your essential oils in, and then you turn it on, it starts to bubble, and that pressure brings it up to the top. So it helps disperse the essential oil into the air. So, and those can run from $25 upwards to like $300.
So what's the difference between a $25 and a $300? I mean, I see those all over as well in the stores.
Right.
Could I buy high quality essential oils and buy a cheap diffuser? Would that be...
I mean, I guess if you want to, the only thing with like the cheaper diffusers, which you'll find is that all of a sudden you're like, why am I having to use like 10 drops of essential? Like my... I have always suggested in a large living area, like 1,000 square feet, let's say you put it in like your great area, your downstairs,
uh-huh.
5 drops, 6 max is what
okay.
And I will use that to diffuse, and it'll diffuse all day long. My diffuser...
Uh-huh.
It runs 10 to 12 hours and intermittently up to 16, I believe, is what it runs.
Wow, that's a lot longer than mine goes.
Yeah.
So is it really big?
No, it's not.
Wow.
It's
so
really
it's
not.
Just a high quality.
Yeah, it's just a good, you know, I source from Green Air. I don't private mm-hmm. label. A lot of companies will use them to private label their own
Green Air.
Yeah. So I've done
and
a lot.
Can that be purchased from you as
yes.
well? Okay.
Yeah, and you can't, because you can't purchase directly through them. They all,
they
all the suppliers are, you know.
It's wholesale.
Yeah, totally. So diffusing is great, especially for, let's just say, fall, when we start to have back to school stuff and we're bringing sneezes, coughs. Okay, so what's happening
yeah.
is you're, as you cough and as you sneeze, you're releasing some potential bacterial, viral stuff going on, right? Airborne.
Yeah.
So you want to use essential oils in there that are airborne antimicrobial. So basically as you shoot that out into the air, it's going to basically attack the whatever sneezes.
So it's actually, it can grab
yes.
that.
Yes. Airborne antimicrobial.
The germs. We're
yes.
going to call them germs.
Yeah. Germs.
Right out of the air and just yep. kind of neutralizes.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like soldier war up there. Like, I'm going to attack you. And then it just... That's it. And then,
cool.
yeah. So that's great too. So they can have like an immune boosting one, or they to run during the house during the fall, and mix it up. You know, use lemon with tea tree one day, use an immune boost blend the next day, which is going to be more complex than just doing two different oils. But diffusing is great. It's great for, like, even putting in your bedrooms at night if you want to help with sleep. Put a couple drops of lavender in your diffuser and let that run throughout the night and just really help create a peaceful atmosphere during sleep. And then we have inhalation, and that's just where you basically take the bottle and you just do like a 10-second deep breath in, or you have an inhalation stick where it's just like a little stick you put, like, you know.
I have one of those.
You do? Okay.
It's a neti stick.
Okay.
I love it.
I love it too. And it's easy to put in your pocket, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have like nausea or like.
Yes, it works for that.
Yes, like peppermint. Like you just.
It has peppermint and I think eucalyptus in it. Okay. I got it for sinuses, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I recently learned that it does help with nausea too.
Yes, car sickness. Yeah. If you're on a boat, like I'll keep a little peppermint stick in my purse and I'll smell it because I tend to get a little wonky on that.
But you don't have to have a special stick. You can just smell it right out of the bottle.
You
could
smell it out of the bottle.
Or
yes.
Like I've seen where people like put it on their hands and you like rub your hand, like a drop, rub your hands together and then you inhale
like
from
cupping.
The palm. Yeah.
Cup. Yeah, you should really put that on like a piece of tissue or like a cotton ball before putting it, because then you're going neat to your skin where it could be like a hot oil or not diluted, and you're going directly into the skin. So you would want to just do like a cotton ball or even like a Q-tip if you wanted to.
Okay.
But you could just smell the bottle as well.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously we have skin. I love dermal application. It's one of my favorites, especially like pain, you know, arthritis or like, I don't know, like, even like my calm roller, my stress roller, like if I wanted to get through my blood system fast, take a deep inhalation in, activate your olfactory system, which is going to send messages all over neurons, which is going to start firing, and then put it on the pulse point, and then it goes through your blood system. So it just really helps get things going quickly.
Okay.
Again, diluted correctly.
Yeah.
I always say that.
I need to learn more about that.
The dilution.
I don't think I've been doing that quite right. So I need to look at your website.
Yes. I unfortunately just met a girl, and she was so sweet, and she was using one of my competitors' blends of citrus kind of blend, which can be phototoxic. She just had taken it out of the bottle, which was not diluted, and she just rubbed it on her arms because it smelled so fantastic, went outside and got burned. She was like, I burned all over.
Oh, wow.
Because all is a citric, so like bergamot, orange, lemon, they're all photo.
Grapefruit? I use grapefruit sometimes. I didn't know that.
But again, you're probably not rubbing it on yourself undiluted and rubbing it all over your arms. That's when you're going to have.
I have.
I will admit my
oopsies here.
Yeah. Trust me, I've had plenty of oopsies along my journey.
I know better now.
Yes.
I will put some lotion or some coconut oil on my skin first and then do the drop. And,
Always dilute. Unless it's tea tree or...
Tea tree is okay to put directly on your skin?
Yes, for acute reasons. You don't want to use it every day. But lavender is another one. Helichrysum is one that you could do. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of depends on the scenario. Like all of a sudden you have like this, like with my daughter with her toe, I would never really put helichrysum on her undiluted. But I put one drop on there because I knew what was going on and I wasn't going to do it a lot.
Uh-huh.
It was fine.
Uh-huh.
And it was great. So...
All right, so then we have left ingestion, and what was the other one?
Bathing.
Bathing, yes. That's actually the one that I use pretty often.
You do, okay.
I just do, like, I'll fill up the tub. I fill up my tub really high, because I like to soak.
Yes.
And then I put, it depends on what's going on, but I usually use, lately I've been dealing with thrush.
Oh.
So I've used clove.
Okay.
Is that right?
clove bud, essential oil?
Yes. Yeah. And a drop of tea tree.
Okay.
And then I usually put something in that just smells good, because I don't really like those smells together. It's, like, so strong.
Yeah.
So I put in, like, a little grapefruit or a little lavender or something like that. And I do, so total, I'll probably have, like, 5 drops of oil in, like, a giant full bathtub of water.
Right. which typically you would think would be totally fine, right? And so...
but it's not.
Okay.
No, not at all. But it comes down to, I'm sure you've been fine. You know your body, and you know what you've been able to use. The thing we have to be careful.
I think so.
Yeah, you think so. We haven't had a reaction. You would know.
I don't think I have.
Okay. Because you have to be careful with the bathing. Again, because oil and water don't mix.
I know, and I can see it floating on the top of the water. So
right.
I know it's all hitting my skin at the same place.
Undiluted.
Right. And
right?
I've thought about that.
Right. Exactly. So, but like, well, I like to take a magnesium bath. I'll put magnesium in there and a lavender.
Yes, I put Epsom salt in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Lavender is one that you can take neat. So fine. That's totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to like clear congestion, or if you want to do something like that, take a shower, drop it on the floor of the shower, and let the steam come up with the smell. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So just because, again, like you don't want to put in your bathtub like a drop of cinnamon or oregano or something, because you're like, oh, oregano, you'll see that. Oh, it's great for antibacterial.
Right. There's a lot of research on oregano.
I know. Yes. So you don't, but it's hot. It's quote unquote hot oil. So if you can put it, the chance of you having like a skin reaction are higher.
Okay.
So because really, like you said, oil, it also sits on the top of the tub or on the top of the water. So it's not really being diluted. Right. So
that's right. You would have to like constantly be stirring the water.
Right. Right. To break it up even.
Right.
So, but lavender is great. You can even do tea tree oil. The things that you can tolerate neat. And, of course, you haven't had a reaction, which is fantastic, which is you know what your body can tolerate.
Not that time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't, though, put your child in a bathtub with, like, oh, they're having congestion, so let me just drop a drop of eucalyptus or a, quote-unquote, like a breathe kind of blend.
Okay.
Because it's undiluted. It's undiluted. You know what I mean?
Okay, so, yeah, I never thought of it that way as being undiluted.
Right.
In this, like, gallons and gallons and gallons of water.
Right.
And I did think about how it's all hitting me in the same place, but I thought, well...
Well, you're probably only using a couple of drops, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with kids, I guess you have to be really, really careful, because
it's
just, like, putting it directly on their skin.
Exactly.
Okay,
So you can do it, you can use it, just you have to realize it has to be, like, those oils that... can be tolerated neat on the skin. And then ingestion. And of course, I think I mentioned something about that, and I'm not a real big advocate for ingesting.
Okay.
There are grass certified essential oils are ones that say you can ingest them.
Mm-hmm.
I know people do lemon, they do grapefruit.
Right.
The
one that I gave my mom is from one of those bigger companies, and it specifically said, like, this is okay on the label, like, for ingestion.
Right.
But I know, like, that's kind of a gray area.
And that's kind of like a marketing thing, too.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, like, if they're therapeutic grade, like, there's...
Yeah.
Unless maybe they diluted it somehow or something, or made it less... It's an essential oil. Was it, like, that's been diluted? Or?
I don't think it's diluted.
Okay.
But she's diluting it in water.
Right.
But then again... Oil floats on
water. Right.
So I think I did mention that to her. Like, you need to shake the bottle. You need to make sure it's not in plastic.
Yeah.
You know, drink it
from
glass.
I mean, I know there's been people that have taken frankincense internally to help, you know, with even cancer, who have, you know. So there are time and places for doing it. It's just something that I don't feel like you should be doing daily.
Okay.
That's my personal... I could change. I'm in the middle of my clinical studies right now with aromatherapy. And, you know, as I get down and learn more, the French aromatherapists really work with ingestion, and they really work with internal.
Okay.
So, like, as I go into more, maybe I'll find a different perspective, but at this point, based on my research and my knowledge that I have now, I'm like, if you're not an avid user and don't know what you're doing, just stay away from it. Or don't, and if it's grass certified, maybe... just use it sparingly, or not every time you have a glass of water.
Right. I think it's really refreshing to hear this perspective, too, because you're selling essential oils. I mean, this is your livelihood.
Right.
So when you're cautioning people to be very careful and use them sparingly and be preventive,
right.
You know, you're not... doing yourself any favors.
I know. Darn it. Repeat customers.
Well, maybe
you maybe you do get repeat customers from that, right, because people aren't being injured or hurt by essential oils.
Right.
But, you know, in the drug industry, you know, you turn on the TV and you see commercials for all these drugs, and they do, I mean, the, now they have to tell you all the side effects, but they're still, like, pushing.
Right.
And more is better, and you're saying that less is better.
Less, that in this world, less is better, and, I err on the side of caution, you know, I mean, I love this part of my reality with aromatherapy, and I love, you know, teaching about it, but then I love selling the products, you know, too. I'm interested. It's like, it's my livelihood. This is what I'm building. And, but I want everybody to use it respectfully for themselves and for their family and friends and just, you know.
Now, tell us about your background, because you haven't always been in aromatherapy, but I know you've been in business.
Right.
So can you tell us just maybe give us a snippet of how you evolved from being kind of in the corporate world to starting your own business?
Yeah, I mean, so after spending, you know, 10 plus years in corporate with marketing, and then, you know, again, it really having my first child, I started another company called Organically Cute, and I manufactured in the U.S. Organic baby products, organic cotton and bamboo, like bibs and bird claws and things of that nature that were kind of more like trendy, cool, different fabric.
Was that in Ohio or was that in California?
It was in California. Okay. It was in Southern California. All of the fabric was milled up in Toronto, actually. Oh, okay. And then the manufacturer was in San Diego, in San Marcos, actually. And so I did that for some years. And then I did some consulting work while doing that. And I was working for a couple of, I worked with Lullaby Lane here in the Toledo area, doing helping them launch their Medela breast pump business. And which was really cool.
I have one of those. I have two of those.
Yeah. And well, because you can get one for free now with your insurance.
I did it totally wrong. We won't go into that. I had to pay for my.
Oh, no.
But I didn't have to, but we won't get into
that. Okay.
But yeah, yeah.
So I started doing more consulting in like the green and then green kids out in California. So I just kind of been in the space of of this. And of course, you know, I started a holistic approach to my life back when I was like in my mid-20s. So I started really evaluating, you know, my spiritual side and my mental and my physical side. And so that all started for me. And then having kids, like I said, just kind of tipped me over. And it just, having Organically Cute, I loved it. It was a fantastic experience. I love entrepreneurship. Like it just... I just always known that was my path, and then it brought me to this, and it was kind of a no-brainer after I started working with her. I was like, you know what, everybody's saying, well, where do you get your oils? I'm like, well, I get them here. I'm like, wait, that's how it all started, just by the constant questions of saying, well, where can I get my oils? And I was like, where can you get your oils? From me.
Perfect.
That's where you can.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this?
So the aromatherapy I've been doing for just over, certified for over 2 years. Uh-huh. But Well Aroma is very new. It launched in November of 2016. So it's in its infancy stage.
Yeah.
But it's going well, and it continues to do better. And
you've been working really hard, because when I went to your website to check you out, I thought, why have I never heard of this person before? She's got so much information out there.
Well,
you've got a good website, you've got all these YouTube videos, and you're doing a lot more.
I'm good. Yes. I had a goal, I think I told you, to start July 15th. Clearly, I have not started it.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I would have started posting it with the kids. It's been a little bit crazy in this last week. So, you know, juggling being a mom and having this reality is challenging.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
So, I know that there are a lot of moms out there who are struggling with, you know, I just had a baby. Am I going to go back to work? Do I want to stay home with my kids? I've always done entrepreneurial things even before I had kids. So it's kind of a no-brainer for me. You know, I've just kept along this path. But I think going into business for yourself, it's not scary to me.
Right.
But I know it's scary to a lot of people.
Right.
What would your advice be to maybe a mom out there who is thinking about hopefully not being your competition?
Right. Right. No.
But going into business for themselves, maybe there are a lot of moms who do all these different holistic things. They're making soap and they're raising alpacas and chickens.
Right.
And, you know, all kinds of things. And they've got a specialty in something. Like, would you encourage somebody to go into business? And what?
You know, I always would, you know, even if you were a direct competing with me, because I just think, you know, if that is your life's alignment and if that's what you desire, then I don't think you should hold back on, you know, that reality for yourself. Like, it's not always easy. I mean, you know, you got your kids running around and...
It's hard. It's harder than having... I've worked outside the home as well.
Yes.
And I have to say, it's definitely harder working from home.
It is.
You have to really be organized. You have to have a support system. Like, tonight when we're recording this podcast, my husband took the kids out of the house.
Right.
You know, and it's a whole... family affair. I mean, everybody is involved in my work, and my work is involved in every aspect of my life. They just kind of leak into each other.
Exactly. And you do, you need that sense of community, you know, having that support. Mm-hmm. You really do need that with going into this type of work on your own. You do really need to have some kind of support, especially as you get going.
Yeah.
The infancy stages is a lot of work, you know. It always is a lot of work.
Yes.
But I mean, definitely, I'm a big, you know, shoot for the stars, shoot for the moon. I mean, go for it. You know, I think we're all, if we have that intuitive pull to do something, I feel like we are supposed to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think happiness is more important than money.
Right.
Money's good too.
Right.
Money does buy happiness sometimes.
You know what?
In little pieces. But like over the course of a lifetime, it doesn't.
I've always said this my whole life. I said, money doesn't bring you happiness, but happiness can bring you money.
Yes, I love that.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes, and it's so true.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is so true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. And I was going to do a lightning round with you, but I feel like we've covered
everything.
But there's one question
okay.
that I have to ask you that multiple people asked me was, what's up with the fabulous hair? How do you get...
Stop it.
How do you get such great hair?
My mom and my dad both. I mean, they both still don't have gray hair, I'm telling you. I have gray hair, though, but I don't know.
You too.
I'm like, darn it, I get those roots done again.
Yeah,
oh, that's so sweet. That's so funny. Thank you, as I have a ponytail in right now.
I hope that everybody listening to this has seen the pictures that... The picture that has been posted, and maybe I'll post some more.
Upper hair. Just my hair.
Is there like some essential oil secret? It's just jeans.
It's just jeans. And I just have an incredible amount of hair. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It just gross amount. Both my parents both have thick hair.
Lucky you.
Yes, I got the good jeans on that one.
I'm so sorry. Sorry, everybody.
There's no essential oil that I use.
She doesn't have a blend for that.
No. We could work on it, maybe, but I don't know.
I have heard that clary sage is good for thinning hair. And
well, for hormonal, that would make sense. Yeah.
So maybe that would be something. You can let us know. Maybe you can look into it for us.
I can do that for you.
But you can't give us your jeans in a bottle.
No,
that just won't work.
Sorry.
Well, it's been so fun chatting with you today.
I appreciate it.
I feel like I've just taken a course on aromatherapy and learned so much. So I really appreciate it. And would you consider coming back again? Because I feel like we could go off on so many tangents and so many topics.
Absolutely.
So maybe we could get some listener input and see if they have any specific things that we could cover.
Perfect.
And if people want to contact you, can you tell us how they can do that?
Yeah, obviously online, I have a contact me form on the website. Facebook is fantastic. Like Well Aroma, message me through Well Aroma's page. I'm very responsive to that because it's a quick ding to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my phone number is out there. I mean, any of those ways, I'm very responsive. So.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thanks
thank
a
you.
Lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. If you'd like to join the conversation or see pictures and videos, check us out on Facebook and Instagram under Thrive Tribe 419. You can find show notes from today's episode or listen to more episodes at tt419.buzzsprout.com or on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean a lot to me if you left a review wherever you listen to the show. Leaving reviews helps others find us and lets them know that we're the real deal. And it lets me know that you've been enjoying the show and that I'm not just sitting here talking to myself. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day and keep thriving.